This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Arts in Atlanta conversation, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with artists John Stevens and Yun Bai. John and Yun, how are you doing?
Doing great, Floyd.
Woo, excited.
All right. Before we get started, I would love for you all to give the listeners out there some perspective of your art craft and where you're coming from.
Okay, well, my name is Yun Bai, and I go by Yunny Bunny. Everybody knows me as Yunny Bunny as a nickname. I'm mostly known for making flowers out of porn adult magazines, you know, to iterate the message that women are flowers and to give hope and healing. And I've been a professional artist for about 12 years now. And, you know, some of my credentials include being reviewed in the, you know, Wall Street Journal and, you know, Atlanta, you know, Journal Constitution, Creative Loafing, New American Paintings, LA Weekly, or Asia Pacific. So my web address, if you want to check out my website, is www.yunbai.com.
John.
I'm John Stevens, also known as Jazz Photo. I don't have quite as catchy name as Yunny Bunny, but I am a photographer here in the city, and I've been doing photography for about 12 years now. And I focus more on creative storytelling, which incorporates components of fashion, natural beauty, and art. A little bit about my credentials. I've been voted Best of Atlanta within the Atlanta Tribune. I've worked with a number of commercial companies such as McDonald's, Marriott, and other brands for specifically branding and marketing initiatives. I am looking to branch into the fine art section of photography, and you can find more of my work at jazzphotoonline.com.
All right. Thank you all for that. And what we like to do here on these Arts in Atlanta conversations is really get some good perspective from the working professionals in our artist community from a standpoint of their practice, their vision, what they see out there in Atlanta, and maybe how they're interpreting some of the movements that are happening around us. So I wanted to get this conversation started with looking back over the first 3 months of this year. So I wanted to get some feedback from you all in terms of the art moments that you've been excited by over the past few months. So let's start there. What are some of the things that you've either seen or read about or had a chance to be a part of that you really were excited about that happened in Atlanta in the past few months?
One of the initial ones to start with is a project that's actually coming to Atlanta for the first time, which is called the Fence Project. And it actually originated in Brooklyn. And it basically is a photography initiative where they're going to actually be posting a large rollout canvas on the Atlanta Beltline. I think the deadline for submissions was this month of April. But I'm really happy to see a nationally recognized project now coming to Atlanta, as well as a number of other things. But as you know, once bigger entities start coming, then there's better recognition of the city and the arts community that's here. Another opportunity that I had, which I was actually involved in, was something that was involving arts but was more of a crossover event, which was called Goody Hack. It was run by a gentleman named Joey Womack, and it's an initiative to create a combination of artists, IT, web developers, and coders, giving them an opportunity to come together for an ideation hackathon to create sourcing and mobile apps for community organizations and nonprofit organizations. And I found that that was really enriching, because being able to be in an industry or a sector that I was not as familiar with, but was inclusive of artists and inclusive of our ideas and our feedback, really gave a different perspective of how we can really make a difference in our community, as well as how we can learn from parallel industries that also collaborate with us. So those are two moments that so far that I have. I mean, we'll get through a little bit more, but that's what I have right now.
Yay. The exciting thing I've witnessed the last couple of months is definitely the Intercessions series. I mean, I don't really get out much like I want to, like I should, but I did go to that, and I bumped into you at the last one, Floyd. And the Intercessions is a thing put on by Art Papers and Fahamu Piku, and he wrote not the last issue, but the issue before that, edited that issue of Art Papers about hip hop and art. And this was kind of like Intercessions, I guess it's crossing about art and hip hop. And the first one had Michael Rooks, which is the curator. Who is the curator at the High Museum, and T.I., and that was a very interesting conversation. And the last one was with Monica Campana of Living Walls and Rico Wade from the Dundon family. So that was very interesting and inspiring, since we're in the A, you know.
Yeah. All right. And I think that for our listeners out there, there is a lot to Google in terms of what you all just talked about. So I really appreciate those responses. So that's what happened in the past few months. What about looking forward as artists in this city? What are you looking forward to as this year progresses?
I'm really looking forward to really becoming more integral in the community organizations. For me, just to give you a little background, I've been kind of a self-contained artist where I've, communed with other photographers, but the area of photography can sometimes be somewhat self-driven and self-motivated, in the sense that you don't really have to talk to other folks to create your work. But I want to get past that and try and get to know other art industries, other artists that are outside of just photography. Couple of things that are coming up. I know we're going into the festival schedule here in Atlanta, and there's a lot of submissions for deadlines that are coming up. One that sticks out is the Elevate Atlanta project, which is run through the city and is the public arts initiative. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to come out with, as we see that there are more artwork on the city buildings. And we see more sculptures coming up now as we drive through our neighborhoods and even through some of the urban sectors. They're actually doing initiatives where they're doing art walks, not only in Castleberry Hills, but also bringing it to the West End community and coupling that with the Bicycle Coalition to get more patrons to go through areas that they may not go through, driven by art and driven by community. So those are a couple of things that I'm looking forward to in the community organizations to really check out.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting out to finding out what the new festivities are, because I've just been kind of in hermit hiding mode, and I'm really excited to get out there and see what's happening in the scene.
Well, Atlanta as an arts city, I think that, John, you talked about some of the ways that we're getting some, I guess, recognition from other places, and people are bringing their artwork or their art projects to Atlanta. And I wanted to get both you all's views on Atlanta as an arts city, as working artists in Atlanta. Talk about maybe some of the opportunities that you see that are maybe helpful to you, that maybe have not been there or maybe were not there 4 or 5 years ago. And then maybe let's talk about some of the challenges that you see in continuing to grow your art practice here in Atlanta.
One specific thing that I see more of now is artist workspaces that weren't available before. Wonder Root is one of them, where you can come in and you can be an artist and you can, develop your craft, which is one of the older factions that have been here in the community. But now we're seeing new organizations that are sprouting up that are creating, you know, opportunities for artists to rent a art space for a day, a month, and come in to work on their art. And it's priced at an affordable rate where it's not normally the typical rate of an Atlanta studio that you would see now. I think C4 is actually one of the ones that is heading the lead in offering workspace downtown, right off of Peachtree. And, you know, that in itself is giving an artist an opportunity to say, hey, if you don't have enough space to create it in your apartment or where you're at, and you need to have, you know, resources available to you that are affordable because we're all working to make a living. These organizations providing this workspace and office space and even conference room space definitely is helpful. And that's something that I hadn't seen as much of before. Outside of that, it's really just the level of community growth. I know some of the things that we talked about before is in instances with any growth, you're going to have growing pains. And with those growing pains, you then become, you know, more aware and also more successful at getting past them in the sense of, you know, with Atlanta being a smaller community in the sense of the start, we now have a lot more attention coming to us, not only just from the arts community, but we've got the film community coming here. The music industry has been here. But these things that are now cohabitating are now giving us new offsets to artists that, you know, may want to create, you know, murals or may be contracted to do specific installments for different companies that have moved here or for different films. So I think that's something that wasn't here before. And the opportunities now are kind of expanding beyond just the smaller circle that it seemed to be here in Atlanta from before.
Yay. Well, I'm excited about Atlanta because, you know, I'm just now getting settled in finally. I feel like I'm getting my grip on everything because I've been back for a few years now. But when I first came back, you know, because I've been gone for, you know, 6 years to LA and then came back. And it was just exciting because there was so much new stuff, not just the development of the city, you know, across all the boards in various industries, but in art, especially with new organizations like, you know, C4, the Key of Creatives Project, Wonderroot, and some of these just, you know, Mocha Georgia has been amazing and stronger than when I left. And so all these new organizations and new galleries, and a lot of the mainstay galleries are still, you know, holding up strong. So I'm really impressed with just how busy the art community has been and all the new things that, you know, Idea Capital came, you know, is out of Atlanta. There's just so many, you know, opportunities for artists, many, many more opportunities here. And I think that's exciting because as a working artist based in Atlanta, I think one of the more important questions for us artists is to ask is how can we, you know, grow globally from Atlanta instead of focusing just on the art scene here. And the one thing I really love about Atlanta is that if you have an idea, you will find people in the art community to support your idea. And we did that with the panel seminar because I came back and I said, how do I, you know, now that I'm back in Atlanta and I'm not in a major arts hub like New York or LA, how do I get out there being based from Atlanta? Because the thing that's great about Atlanta is the cost of living here. It is so amazing to live here, and the cost of living, your quality of life is so much better than LA or New York or anything. And so just we did this, you know, panel seminar with the help of the Creatives Project and the Goat Farm. And I said, you know, how do we take it, you know, being based in Atlanta, pursue an international career from Atlanta? And how do we learn from artists and, you know, getting taught those things? So we pulled a panel seminar together addressing the business skills necessary to take it global from Atlanta.
Can you speak more in terms of that? Yeah.
Okay, speak more.
Definitely.
Well, because I love social networking, and I just popped a question out on Facebook a couple years ago, and I said, hey, you guys, you know, would y'all be interested if we put together like a little seminar to get Atlanta artists to teach us all, spill all the beans and secrets on our, you know, everybody's business practices and what's working for them and what hasn't, because, you know, we need to have that conversation between artists. I think in any art community, there's just a lot of competition in any industry, whether it's music or film or photography or whatever. And I'm really against competition. I don't think that it's very healthy. I think, people come to me and said, well, Yon, I got more art than you. And it's like, it's not, I don't care about if you have more art than me. I'm not competing with you, but I compete fiercely with myself. So.
And I think you brought up a good point in the sense that, you know, from her perspective, she's coming into Atlanta and saying, hey, how can I break into the market, but also still stay relevant from a national, international scale? I think that just as much as she's looking for the information, I think it's just as important for those folks that are coming to Atlanta from different sectors saying, hey, this is what I found out and about or abroad as an artist. And that way it expands Atlanta's local reach to that international reach. Because, you know, it's all, you know, going back to the each one teach one rule, there's always something that can be offered from both sides of the fence. And, you know, even speaking to the business side of it, you know, a lot of artists, what I've found is that, you know, we are really good at creating and being able to create these very unique pieces and projects. One thing that I've always seen that has been lacking is the business and the marketing side of it. And how do you set yourself up in a way that you could get picked up by, you know, a company or could be granted funds from different organizations and things of that nature, and position yourself where you have a full layout of what you're doing and how you want to do it and how it will benefit others. And I think organizations are getting to that. But I think a lot of times, even for me, you know, not being as involved with the organizations because I've been kind of self-reliant, it's a disadvantage, and it has also created an opportunity there where I haven't been up on as much that is going on in Atlanta. It's almost like I've been inside and I come out, and before it was trees, now it's buildings and it's skyscrapers, and it's almost like a new Atlanta for me. But on the same side, it also means that I've been working in Atlanta for, you know, almost 12 years, and I can still come out and be fresh. I can still come out and be new. I can still come out and meet total strangers and say, well, why haven't we ever heard of you? And still have a body of work to be able to show. But within that showing, I want to, you know, focus on being able to have the business side taken care of, the licensing, you know, how do you negotiate the deals that get you into certain places, and how do you go, you know, how do you transition from a gallery to a museum, and, you know, what ways can you set yourself up to go from the retail side of art into an exhibition, you know, or curated side from the museum side. So, you know, those are things that I look at and I think, you know, are totally related to what Yun was talking about in reference to sharing the information across the board.
Let's stay with that notion of being able to have an international presence from Atlanta, because I think it's interesting that Atlanta is this city where we have the world's busiest airport. So there's always a flow of people in and out of the city. And we've been able to export our music all over the world. But with the art community, it seems that there's still some growing pains as far as wanting to be relevant here, but then trying to export your craft or your talent elsewhere and have a foot in both worlds, if you will. Have something established here, but also elsewhere. So let's talk more about that in terms of what you would like to see more of that would maybe help our artists sustain that type of life where they can have a career all over the world, but still be based here in Atlanta.
I think, you know, from a photography standpoint, I mean, all the stuff that we're going to be talking about today is related. You know, as an artist, whether you're a painter, whether you're a sculptor, whether you're a photographer, whether you work in another medium, we all are dealing with the same issues, but for the segments to cross over more and also to do more co-oping, right now there's a lot of photographer communes that are popping up that mainly was more so in L.A. or in New York, where you'd have a studio and you'd have five or six photographers that would literally be a private studio within their own rights. And they would be a creative commune where they would, you know, share information and, you know, trade secrets and things of that nature to help further that whole commune. And I think if we could find a way where, you know, find those communes that are here in Atlanta and then allow that to be a connection or co-op to places like in L.A. or New York, or even, you know, places that have emerging artist communities such as, you know, in Nashville, which, you know, is a growing arts community as well. That way, giving us an opportunity to say, hey, you know, if you're in Chicago, I just recently went to Chicago and the art there was you didn't have to ask anyone was there an art community. As soon as you go to the city, everywhere you look, there is art. And it's stationary art. It's not necessarily, oh, we'll put this up right now and then we'll take it down, you know, a little later or when the season changes. But it's an art form that you see that the city has obviously invested into the art culture in a permanent way. And it definitely gives artists a much more prominent view. Now, that's the outside looking in. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to any Chicago artists while I was there, but I got to see a lot of art from Chicago. So I'd like to see the same thing here in Atlanta. And I think to your question about the international focus, how do we get the buy-in from the international players? Is we have to buy into ourselves first. I think if our city, you know, Elevate Atlanta, I mentioned that that's a city program that is focusing more on public art. And I think the more that the city buys in and makes a permanent investment into our artists, I think it would help propel us a lot further in reference to the attention that's being given to the city internationally and nationally from a lot of other industries.
I think that, you know, I've always been a big artist business advocate to, you know, and really encourage artists to really get educated on business, you know, knowledge, because, you know, a lot of artists will say, oh, well, you know, I can't sell. I don't know how to sell. I just know how to paint. But yeah, I want to make it as an artist. And I really say, well, you know what? You have to really get on some business skills. And I feel like the four things that artists really have to learn is, you know, sales, negotiation, leadership, and networking. You know, if you can not just be proficient, but master at those skills, and, you know, you can really do this art thing from anywhere. And I feel like, you know, basically with the whole, I took the C4 class, the Ignite class, amazing. Mm-hmm. And there they presented to us the Red Ocean, Blue Ocean strategy. And I'm always, always preaching about the Red Ocean, Blue Ocean strategy because it just really lit like a big light bulb up when I learned about it. So if you Google the Blue Ocean strategy, it's basically this book that was written and it talks about, you know, the Red Ocean is like the bloody ocean. It's like the, you know, the existing industry the way that it is, the current way that the art world is. So if you're trying to sell art, you're going to go look for an art collector. Well, those art collectors have hundreds, if not thousands, of artists, you know, trying to get their attention, you know, because got to buy art. And through that class, I was really able to find what is my target market. And it wasn't art collectors, believe it or not. You know, my art has more of a social issue, like where I'm here to make impact with my art from a social level. And so right now we're trying to start this movement to get men to support women's rights, you know, through art and just getting, you know, raising awareness. And so with that, you know, being in Atlanta, I said, well, you know, Jan, you're in Atlanta, but what do you have popping here? I was like, you have music popping here and hip hop is popping here. And I don't really know much about hip hop, but I'm definitely learning. And so right now we're collaborating with Big Rube from the Dungeon Family and also DJ Jelly. And so it was just amazing because I met them and told them about my idea. And they were like, we want to be a part of it, Jan. We want to support you. We're feminists. And I was like, awesome. So right now we've got, you know, Big Rec from The Five. And he invited me to be part of his movement, The Real Hip Hop is Back movement. And so we're, you know, merging movements together to kind of speak on different aspects of these, you know, repetitive issues. And we want to take that on a start with Atlanta, but via social media. I think social media is like the new method of grassroots to reach people. You know, before grassroots would be like door to door, face to face, but you're still doing that. But now on the internet, and it's viral, and it's fast. It just, you know, multiplies. So we're going to utilize social media to really spread our message globally.
And you know, to piggyback, one thing that I was hearing from what you were saying, it really comes down to aligning yourself, finding who you are. Because a lot of times we don't think about that when we're creating our work. We're creating our work, and we say, I'm going to put it out there. But a lot of times we don't know who we're putting it out there for, who is our best customer. Mm-hmm. It may not be just the A to B point of sale to say, hey, I need to find a customer that's going to buy this piece. It may be aligning yourself with a movement that has, you know, parallel initiatives and objectives to say, hey, we're all going in the same direction. You may not be an artist, but you're, you know, someone who is supporting artists through what you're doing. I like to align myself with you. But that only came after you found out your target market and said, hey, the people that I was going for before, whether it be art collectors or whatnot, that I wasn't getting in the door because that wasn't my market. My market is those folks that would look to support community organizations that have a social awareness about themselves that goes even beyond just social media. But I do agree with you that the grassroots is now becoming more of a mainstream in social media because of the opportunities if it's used right. And, you know, anything that gets into social awareness and it shows that you believe in something, not only that you believe in your work, but you believe in standing for your work with representation of this organization or this movement, definitely gives people a lot more substance to kind of go by. So, you know, I commend you on aligning yourself. And I think that that's another key to creating stronger bonds as artists here in Atlanta and also going outside.
I think this really highlights where the arts are in a digital age, because you talked about social media, Yun and John. Earlier, you mentioned about how artists present themselves, especially online. And when you talk about branding and those types of things. So I would love to take it there in terms of arts in the social media age. And from what you all have seen and what you all have been a part of, what are some of the really effective ways that you've seen people really use the social media platform to put their art or their cause front and center in a very effective way?
One way that I see this very effective, because I mean, it's basically those artists that have created a persona, and you spoke of it, a brand. We don't think about every time we say something online, it's representing our brand. A lot of times we're saying things and we're creating a brand that we don't even know is what, how we're being, you know, portrayed. We're just thinking, we're just trying to get our work out, trying to get it out to the public. But if you sit back and there's certain artists that would create a persona, and everything they do is underlined by that persona. The way that they communicate with their viewers is under a particular persona, whether it's a quirky, funny, you know, commentary about their life that, you know, has thin threads that are attached back to their work, or whether it's someone who is very strong about supporting initiatives that, you know, not only are directly related to their artwork, but also, you know, support their customer, the person that their target market that they're looking to reach out to. But having a brand makes you a lot more attractive to bigger companies, bigger entities that would say, well, you know, Yun is a total package. You know, she has a persona about herself. You know, she's going to come with a smile, and she's going to come with in a way that, you know, she can be quirky, she can be funny, but she's very serious and very, very strong on her points of initiatives, whether it be feminine rights, whether it be, you know, certain things. That's the persona that a customer or a target market would be attracted to, because we have so many folks that are putting their work out and they're not saying anything about it. It's saying, take it as it is, make of it what you want. It's my heart, it's my life, but take this, take my heart and my life and do what you must with it. And that's not, we can't operate like that, because we don't have any control in that regard. And when we sit back and we put our hearts and our lives out there, and we wait and we hope and we hope more, and we're saying nobody still is called, you know, you're wondering what's wrong with you. It's not necessarily that anything's wrong with you. is saying that, you know, we need to take more of an inward look to say, who are we? Who is our target market? What do I believe in? What am I most passionate about? And how can I get my work to the professionals that are going to, you know, ask the best of me in the sense of what you do?
Well, I agree. And thank you for all the great props, John. I feel like with us being artists, we agree on a lot of things, and that, you know, we have to kind of look outside of our market. You know, what you were saying about what's, you know, besides art collectors, who else is out there for you? Mm-hmm. And I did really, you know, I think all artists, you really have to emphasize on a brand. And one of my professors from Agnes Scott that I, you know, saw a few years ago, and she kind of said, you know, Yon, I've noticed that, you know, artists have more, you know, more opportunities when you really promote your brand more. And mm-hmm. I looked at all the, I mean, because us as artists, even just our name throughout your career is a brand of itself. Mm-hmm. You know, John Stevens has, you know, a certain aesthetic to his work, you know, and what he's, you know, specializing in. And as well as crossing over, you're trying to get into more of the fine arts route. I'm trying to actually go expand into more of the commercial route myself. Mm-hmm. So I feel like as far as artists goes, the branding is very, you know, very important. Because, you know, whoever has the biggest following wins. And I think, you know, artists have to really take the initiative and, you know, really get in there and just invest in your career as far as the business skills goes, the networking. You know, at the end of the day, if you don't know how to negotiate, how are you going to know when you're being screwed over by someone, you know, when you're not knowing those negotiation skills and sales skills? And so I think that's, you know, as artists, we have to take that responsibility to invest in that kind of knowledge.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. Well, now I would like to talk about that all-important thing in many an artist's life, money. Funding your work. There are lots of ways in which people go about that. Sometimes it's developing a collector base. Sometimes it's crowdsourcing. Sometimes it's applying for grants and you're submitting for things that the city may be offering, like Elevate or the Beltline, or you're submitting for Idea Capital. So let's talk about funding your work. And what have you two seen in maybe your own practice, but also maybe in some of your peers' work that has worked for them, or maybe even some challenges that you see out there that people are having as it relates to generating revenue?
I know John and I are both looking at each other like, okay, you want to go first on that? Oh, I guess I'll go first. As far as, you know, like I said, what I love about Atlanta is that, you know, the community here is very supportive of ideas. And I think as an artist, it really depends on, you know, your focus and your drive and your motivation first. But also, you know, at the end of the day, people are going to love a great idea. And you have to think about how many people, in my work, I think about how many people is this going to impact? You know, how I'm here to, you know, create social change and awareness. So how do I do that through my art? And I feel like, you know, in anything, if you can serve a large amount of people, a mass amount of people, then, you know, you'll really get your message across. And I think it's in the end, you know, back in 2008, I had this great mentor, right? And, you know, but I was back in California, I was whining, I was complaining. I don't really whine, but, you know, I'm just being sarcastic. But I was like, oh, this is so hard. This art life is so crazy and just, you know, whatever. And, you know, my mentor was just letting me, you know, vent. And after I was done venting, he was like, well, Yon, you know, everybody has their sob story and whatever, but in the end, it's all about the art. And it just, I didn't have anything else to say to that. Like, me, because the truth is, it's all about the art. If you have a great idea, you know, it's going to show wherever you're, whether you're in New York or Atlanta or wherever. I think it's, you just have to stay true to your purpose, stay true to your mission, know exactly what you're here to do as an artist and what kind of artist you want to be, and be very clarified in what you want.
Yeah, and to piggyback of what Yoon was saying is, I think it's developed funding. You know, for me as a photographer, I don't have a collector's group other than just, you know, clientele, loyal clients. And most of the stuff that I do is self-funded. But what I've learned is most of my revenue, with very little public advertisement has come from, you know, building relationships within a network. And a lot of times it's hard because when you first start out as an artist, you're saying, all right, I've done my art. Where are my people? You know, where are the folks that are going to buy it? And then you realize that no one's buying it as quickly as you would like them to, as your bills are coming. You realize, you know what, I may have to till the ground a little bit more with this. I need to position, in the sense of the key word, position myself in a place where I'm around the folks that are looking for my type of work and my type of skill. And that takes time. You have to research your area. If, you know, I was going somewhere else to another city, I would have to know who are the players that are in the city. Who are the type of folks, you know, and of course, all this goes off of going back to knowing who you are, knowing who your target market is. But who are the folks that would be most likely to buy my work, and how can I get into the doors to get them there? And, you know, so a lot of times the doors are locked and no one's answering. And I think that a consistent level of approach makes a difference. I think that the clients that I'm getting now didn't just happen overnight. I think it took all of the 8-12 years that I've been doing this and to continually put my work out. I know for the first 3 years, I didn't see anything. And I was wondering, should I continue to keep doing this thing, you know, as photography? Because I didn't know if I was doing good, if I was doing bad. I didn't, you know, and my feedback then was just solely on how much I was selling. And it was zero. But eventually folks started coming along and you realize that people are watching you. And, you know, going back to the brand part of it, as you build your brand, as you become stronger in your brand, there are folks that are rooting you on, but you're not getting that message that they're rooting you on until you get a referral or until somebody says, yeah, I saw your work on such and such and I talked to such and such and they said that I should come see you for this. And then once you knock it out the park for them, then they're becoming your so-called promotions team that ends up walking out and saying, hey, this guy did this work for me. It was wonderful. It brought in this many results and you should work with him. And until we start converting people, our clients, the ones that we do have into promoters for us, then it kind of, you know, gives us a boost. But then also you have to still keep consistent with building that brand, doing things and being creative and doing those creative projects. I know a lot of times the best way that I can say it was when I wasn't doing client work, when I first started, I would get into a slump and I just wouldn't do anything. But then I realized that every time I do creative work, it's like a big commercial for me. And people would start calling me off of these creative projects that I would do in-house just because they saw something that I did and it related some kind of way to what they wanted to do. And they didn't necessarily want exactly what I did, but they said, hey, well, I saw the way you did that. I like the way that lighting was. I want that for my product or I want that for my marketing campaign. And that's where it began in the sense of building those relationships, but also continuing to be consistent of building that brand through your creative work, doing what you want to do. Because ultimately, if you just do the work that people pay you for, are they really seeing you as the artist or are they seeing what people are asking of you in the art form? So, you know, going back to relationship building, that would be my biggest thing in staying consistent.
Well, you also talked about in your case, you're in a space where you can balance both of your commercial side as well as your art side. So some of one can fund the other and vice versa. Other artists oftentimes will teach some classes in mm-hmm. their space that allow them to then work on their art craft. And you talk about finding your community and understanding who you are first, but then finding who are those people around you who can really push you up and really lift you up and support you in that manner. And I'm curious about you all's perception of a lot of the social media based Kickstarter projects around art. I've seen some that have been really, really successful and some that have not been so much. So what are your thoughts on leveraging your community in that way to help fund your art and maybe give some examples if you have any of ones that really stick out to you?
I just worked on a project with a group called MyIvana.com, and they're a tech-based company that I partnered with to do all of their media and their marketing, and they started through a Kickstarter. One of the Kickstarters, maybe not Kickstarter.com, but one of them. And it's a challenge, you know, because, you know, you think that it's easy to get a dollar from your friends, your family, try getting it from a stranger. It has its challenges, and you have to stay persistent in your communication. This was a company that had a very strong, following and had a very strong plan and pitch, but they still had to work it all the way through. There was no day that was a part of that campaign where they weren't, all right, we're at 500. We need this much more. And they had to stay on their community in order to make it happen. They did in turn reach their goal. And, you know, just knowing that having the idea is the start, but it's not the end. It's the beginning. And being able to develop that in a way where you're okay with knocking on someone's door, if you're okay with sending somebody a message and saying, hey, you know, I would love for you to be one of the supporters, blah, 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 blah. And having something to offer them that's not necessarily you selling your soul to them for, you know, the artwork that you're actually being supported for. And I think that's the biggest thing about the Kickstarter movement, is that these are entities that are, you know, that had before had to sell all the rights to their stuff to get funded. And now they have an opportunity to say, hey, these are the guidelines that I want to, you know, work in. And between A and Z, this is what I'm willing to do. And if you're interested in that, we'd love for you to be a supporter and to donate. But ultimately, it's easy to sign up. It's easy to create a page. It's easy to set up your page and put video and things of that nature there. But once it's there, you have to work it to continue to get those funds, because ultimately, even if it's not successful the first time, there's a lot of folks that go right back with another idea and are successful. But it just comes down to being very persistent. And it is a market that has grown exponentially in such a short amount of time where you're not alone. So you may want to look around and say, well, is someone else offering the same thing that I'm doing within my local area? Because you don't want to find yourself, you know, we talked about competition. It's out there, but you don't want to put yourself in a space where it's oversaturated and then you're not getting the return that you really think that you deserve.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't had any experience with, you know, Kickstarter, you know, myself or anything like that. But to backtrack on the money thing, is get money any way you can. That's my answer. As long as it's, you know, you're with it, you know, with an integrity, and as long as it's legal, go for it. But as far as what I've witnessed is, I'm a big fan of Jennifer Schwartz, and, you know, how she, you know, started her crusade, you know, for, you know, with the bus. Basically, she, you know, raised funds to buy this, VW bus. And the bus is awesome because the bus goes to various cities, and she actually went on a tour around the country, bringing photography actually to the audience. And through that, you know, she was, you know, taking pictures, blogging about it, talking about her trip and meeting people all across the country. And that's, I just thought that worked really well for her.
Yeah. And you talked about when you were in Los Angeles and you were having a moment where you were venting a little bit. And I think a lot of your artist peers can probably relate to having those moments where you're kind of in a down space. You're on your way back up, but maybe you're kind of going through a bit of a valley. So I would love for both of you to talk about maybe not failure in that regard, but just when you're confronted with some challenges, and what have you done to forge through some of those dark moments?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, I have this thing that, you know, I'm going to do art until I die. Because I don't, you know, when I'm old and decrepit and laying on my deathbed, sorry, I don't want to think about the opportunities that I never even attempted. That way, if I know that I did it until the end, that I won't have any doubt about, you know, could it have been this way or could it have been anywhere else? Did I quit too early? you know, and that's just the commitment I've made. And it's just, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, it's not easy being an artist. And, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, like my friends that have families and houses and they're married. And I was just like, well, I'm not married. I'm 35. I don't have kids. And, you know, I'm at that age. I'm like, do I address these? Should I think about it? And I said, and the answer's always been, Yun, but you're an artist. This is the life you chose. This is what you chose. And I said, you know, you're absolutely right. This is what I chose. And it has, you know, it's all about the art and the commitment, because, you know, I really want to ask, you know, all our creative people out there is, are you committed to your craft until the day you die? Because if you're not, you know, you might really want to think about your commitment. And I'm a big believer of being all in, you know, because, you know, I don't really believe on a plan B until I know for sure that plan A doesn't work. Because I feel like if you have a plan B, then you're already subconsciously saying, knowing that your plan A isn't going to work. So I'm kind of like really just all in about everything. And it's just really about your commitment, because I've faced so much adversity in my career, as we all have. It's not easy being an artist. And I just like, every time I said, Yun, you have to get up. You know, you might fall on your face, but you have got to get up. At the end of the day, you will fail if you do not get up. That's the only way that you will fail, is if you don't get up. So I think, again, it's just about the commitment as an artist. You know, how committed are you? And, you know, we've all fallen on our face in our careers. You know, everybody has. And it's just a matter of, when will you get up, and how will you get up? And you know, sometimes you do fall on your face, and it might take a year or two or three or four until you get back up. But you have to be sure, and you have to let everybody else know that you will be up.
I also agree that level of commitment it comes with its sacrifices. And as an artist, you know, it doesn't come with a structure. You know, when you sign up to be an artist, you don't have a corporate structure behind you with the policies and procedures and guidelines and benchmarks to keep you in the game, to keep you motivated. So not only are you, you know, working against, you know, the challenges of your industry, but you're also working against yourself. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemies, in the sense that, you know, there comes times when if you focus so much on money, then if you don't get the money that you feel like you deserve, you start doubting your work, and you have to push forward beyond that point to say, you know, are you doing it for the money, or are you doing it for the passion, for the love of why you're doing it? And I know that's always a touchy subject with art, when you talk about, well, you know, if we don't work to get paid, then why are we working? But my argument is that if it wasn't just for money, then you would have something to push past those moments when the money wasn't there, and give that commitment that Yun was talking about, that comes with a level of sacrifice to say, you know what, there is no plan B. I heard on the radio, I think it was Steve Harvey, said this morning, you know, the wise statements that sometimes aren't so wise, talking about one of them, which was, don't put your eggs all in one basket. Well, he advised that if you were talking about the stock market, then yeah, you might be right. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, because you'll lose them real quick if it goes the wrong way. But when it comes to something that you're passionate about, that you love, you have to give it your all. And anything less would be a kink in your armor to being able to move forward. Because there are going to be down times. There are going to be no knocks on the doors. You're going to have to not go out there and be persistent. And, you know, it's just as simple as what Yun said is, in the instance, if you don't get up, who will for you and your work? So just getting up every day and continuing to create, even if there's no one calling, if there's no one saying anything about your work, is enough to say, hey, you're confident in who you are, and your time will come. But until then, you'll keep growing, you'll keep evolving, you'll get better. And that's one of the things that I've seen in my own work, is that every opportunity I get to shoot, I find something new and refreshing, and something that I can add to my palette or toolbox that I didn't have before. And when that client finally does come along, guess what? I'm ready. I'm more confident, and I'm more capable of being able to take care of whatever they're asking, because I've never stopped working. Just because a client isn't there, or, you know, a personal who collects is not there, that can't be enough to stop you. They're speed bumps. They may slow you down a little bit, but ultimately you still have to keep your eyes on the prize and keep pushing forward and, you know, go for that sacrifice, because that type of success that we're going for doesn't come without huge sacrifice on the end, but it also comes with huge opportunity if you just stick with it.
I wanted to give you all a chance to ask questions of each other. I think now we've been in conversation for a while, and through all of this dialogue, I feel like sometimes artists have questions of each other after they've gotten a chance to learn more about the other person's perspective. So do either of you have any questions for each other?
Hey, want to be my friend?
Of course.
Let's be buddies. Okay,
that was
cool.
A quick one.
Yeah.
I guess for you, I would actually ask, you know, for you having an art form that wasn't necessarily something that you see every day, and it having such a unique substance about it. What challenges did you see when you first came out? When you told that first person, "This is what I'm doing, and this is why." How did you take that information or that feedback? What was it that you know got you to say, "All right, now it's time for me to tell the second person and the third person"? What was it that inspired you to keep forward with it?
Well, the first person I shared my art with was my mama. Because I had to explain to her why I was buying porn magazines, you know, why I needed to go buy porn magazines. And so she, of course, gave me the chinky side eye, you know, kind of like, what, you're doing what? But so I really had to fight my way because, you know, she's very traditional. They're very mm-hmm. traditional. And I had to explain and just stick to my ground. Again, it comes back to the commitment. I was like, Mama, I am not going to be a lawyer, a doctor, or an accountant as you want me to be as a Chinese daughter, you know. And so I think that's really, you know, why I just tell people, like, you know, when people ask me, like, so what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a painter, and I make flowers out of porn magazines to reiterate the message that our women are flowers. And, you know, that's my 30-second commercial. And usually people are like, what? Did you say corn? I said, no, I said porn. And so that usually, like, catches people's attention, and they're very interested. So I think it just, you know, basically, just let people know about your ideas. You know, I'm an open book. I'm always sharing what I'm doing with people because I don't feel like it makes you any less brighter to help someone light their candle. You know, so I really believe in sharing and helping people. But that's basically it. You know, just be interested in what other people are doing as well. So, John, I would love to learn more about your work and see it. And, you know, really, I love meeting fellow artists because it's all about, you know, helping each other and sharing with each other. And I know you have a lot to teach me, and I would love to share what I know with you. So what are you excited about this year, and what do you hope to accomplish this year until 2014?
I'm hoping to accomplish closure to some projects that I've been working on for the last 6 years now. You know, that's the other thing we didn't talk about was how long it takes to actually complete a work or a project when you do a lot of in-house stuff. That's where my hope is, and to be able to roll it out to the public. You know, a lot of times when we do art and we work on these projects, we hold them like babies mm-hmm. and we don't want to let them go, and we keep tweaking them and keep tweaking them. And then you realize, you know what? I just need to let this baby get out there, fly, and grow up on its own. Mm-hmm. You can't coddle the baby, because if you coddle, no one will ever see the baby out there in the public. And, that's one of my goals, for this year. But also, I know that that's attached with other opportunities, because the more people see of you and they learn about you and they continue to build their representation of what they think your brand is, then it makes it easier for them to align you with the things that connect to revenue, that connect to further opportunities, referrals, and things of that nature. But that's it. I'm currently working on a project that's Jazz Photo Naturals. I'm also working on a project that's called DOAC, which is called Death of a Clown. And all of these projects have narratives to them, and finding a way to connect emotionally with the folks that are looking at it is what my goal is once it's rolled out. And that's the hope that it'll happen this year.
Yay. And you're going to let me know how I can help you, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, you've got plenty of ways to help me, because my whole thing is, when I was talking about co-opting, it's really what are your best practices? You know, what works for you? And, you know, sometimes just in sharing your best practices can, like you said, light the candle for someone else to say, you know what, that was the one piece that I was missing. You know, how do you take a subject that may seem taboo, and then you can and transfer that in a way that defines it differently? You automatically, I mean, when you were speaking of it, it totally redefined, you know, oh, well, that's, if you're going to have a porn magazine, I guess that's the best way to show it and talk about it and create a dialogue about it. And, you know, I'm sure that in your conversations, you brought up even more dialogue on things that even go beyond just the artwork, just in the sense of, hey, these are things that you don't hear talked about, but they need to be discussed. And it's something that's, you know, continuing to be a challenge within a certain segment, whether it's with women or it's with men. And your art is a connecting piece that allows them to come together and say, let's talk. We can have a conversation about this. So best practices would be my best exchange.
Yay.
And anything that I can offer and helping you as well. You know, I'm here. It, like you said, it's information and saying experience, sharing experiences cost us nothing, but we don't do it as often. We don't necessarily, we hold on to it like it's a diamond. And if somebody hears it, they're going to take something, but everybody interprets things different. That's why we're artists. You know, no one artist is going to fabricate the same thing the same way with the same intent that you had when you came up with that idea. And if it's meant to be, it will be. You know, it's not something that you should have to worry about, but just focus on completion and executing. Yes.
Well, as we wrap up, I wanted to give some time for you all to give some final thoughts on arts in Atlanta, all of what we talked about, maybe some things that we didn't get to that you really had on your chest, on your heart that you wanted to say. So final general thoughts on arts in Atlanta a few months into 2014.
I'm excited. I mean, the year is still young. You know, we're done with the first quarter for the year. There's three more to go. I'm just really excited and really ready to get things going. And as you know, Florida, I've kind of changed my business model a lot and, you know, transitioning that into 3 years. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, striving forward with our team and just, you know, really knocking it out. So, yeah.
My last thoughts would be it's never too late to till the field, to plant those seeds. You do it now, you know, 3 years down the road, you could have something very, very valuable to your community, and stick with it. You know, nothing grows unless you water it, unless you till the land, unless you continue to work at it, as you continue to evolve as an artist, you know. And sometimes, you know, focusing on just saying, hey, I want to be the best within my craft or the best within my medium is enough to say, you know what, if I'm the best, then that will attract the people that I want to work with. They're going to bring the best out of me. And, you know, that's just one of the thoughts that I would leave just based on the city as a whole, and then, you know, just artists as a whole. Just keep with it and don't let the valleys keep you from your peaks.
John Stevens, Yun Bai, thank you both for your time.
Thank you, Floyd.
Thanks, Floyd.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com.